Before our Lord began his public ministry at the age of 30, he, however, was neither a farmer, nor a shepherd, nor a steward. Do you recall what we read that he was? He was a carpenter. Mark 6, verses 2 and 3 tell us this. Mark 6, verses 2 and 3 once again. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Have you ever wondered why it was in God's providence that when Jesus came to earth, he first had the vocation of being a carpenter? Before he became a preacher and a teacher and a healer and fulfilled his ultimate work of being our sacrifice on the cross for our salvation, he was a carpenter. During the years that he lived in Nazareth, he worked at a bench as a carpenter. This morning, I would like to suggest four possible reasons as to why our Lord, in God's providence, was a carpenter. This is the Christmas season. And in my first Christmas message, the one of last Sunday evening, we considered one of the wonderful names of Jesus that we find in the Bible. Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. This morning, we will consider another name or a title that we find in the Gospels. Jesus, the Carpenter. As we do, I want you to remember something that my good friend, the late Warren Wiersbe, said to us in a quote last Sunday evening. He said, "Every name that Jesus wears is a blessing that he shares." We can be blessed today through the study and appropriation of Jesus the Carpenter. Well, the first possible reason I would like to suggest as to why our Lord was a carpenter is, quite simply, he was born into a carpenter's home. Joseph, his legal earthly father, was a carpenter. Joseph had as his profession working with wood. In Matthew 13, verse 55, we read, "Isn't this," meaning isn't Jesus, "the carpenter's son?" The Lord Jesus was a carpenter, first of all, because he was born into a carpenter's home. You will remember that this was not what the Jewish people expected of their Messiah at all. They thought that their Messiah would come as a great king and would no doubt live in something like a palace. At the very least, he would be born a great soldier, a conqueror, who would deliver them from submission to other nations. But the Lord Jesus, once more, was born into a carpenter's home, and he therefore came as a common laborer. He came as a servant. I think there is real significance for us in Jesus being a carpenter. And one part of that significance now is this. The Lord Jesus is able to identify with common people like ourselves. We read in the Bible, Mark 12, verse 37, that the common people heard him gladly. One reason they did is he knew what they were like. He knew what their needs were. He knew what their challenges were. He knew what their hassles were. He was one of them. He knew honest labor. He knew what it was like to work hard, to be tired. The Jewish people have many sayings. One of them is, if you do not teach your son how to work, you teach him how to be a thief. All of the Jewish people taught their sons how to work. Even the rabbis had their vocation, their work. Saul, or Paul, you will recall, was a tent maker. Jesus was a carpenter. And I believe that one of the things that says to us is that when he came to this earth, he came to identify with us. Do you have a tendency to think that Jesus is way out there, unable to really identify with you? Oh, he's aware of you, but he doesn't really understand you. He doesn't really know your temptations, your challenges, your needs, your life. Not so. Jesus the carpenter tells us that Jesus Christ does understand us completely. He does know what it's all about. The common people heard him gladly because he knew what they were like. He was one of us. A second possible reason as to why our Lord Jesus was a carpenter is not only was he born into a carpenter's home, but he also came to do a carpenter's work. What does a carpenter do? What is his, her work? He builds and he repairs. He takes wood and he builds something with the wood, or he takes a broken object and he mends that broken object so that it functions again. The Lord Jesus became skilled at building and fixing as a sign that he ultimately came to repair and build our lives. I must admit that I do not have the skill of a carpenter. There have been many times when I have wished that I could take some tools and build things or go around and fix things, but I simply do not have that ability. My late father-in-law had that ability, and he could and he did do some really wonderful things with his ability. The Lord Jesus, again, spent those earlier years of his life building and repairing to perhaps communicate to us the truth that he wants to take our broken lives and work wonderful and strong and God-honoring things in them. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 so that we can fill out even more our second point. John 10, verse 10a, to be exact. John 10, the first part of verse 10. Jesus is speaking here, and he is speaking about our arch enemy, Satan. And he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. What is Satan's work here on earth? What does he want to accomplish in reference to you? He wants to destroy. He wants to take you and ruin and destroy your life. He wants to tear you up. Let me put it like this. Sin is a great destroyer, and Satan tempts you to sin. Satan tempts you to sin so that sin will destroy your home, your body, your relationships, your life. Jesus Christ, though, came to do what? He came to build. He came to repair. He came to do a carpenter's work. He came to take us and fix and mend our lives. He came to save us from sin and enable us to really live to the glory of God. Jesus the carpenter. The story is told of a little girl named Becca who lived in an institution for troubled children. She had never spoken, and her behavior was quite violent. She terrorized the other children, hitting them and stomping on their toys. This was in the 1800s when treatment for emotional problems was still quite primitive. But there was a nurse who showed love. No doubt the love of Christ to this little girl. And slowly, Becca calmed down. She began to show affection for the nurse. And she would even sit quietly with the other children as they learned to sing. Still, she wouldn't speak. One summer evening, the nurse, who loved her very much, put Becca to bed early. The sun had just gone down and some birds were singing outside. Then the nurse heard another voice along with the birds. It was Becca. Alone in her room, she was singing a song she had heard the other children sing. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee. Jesus the carpenter. You know, my friend, your life can be graciously built up and repaired by the Lord Jesus. In Christ, you can grow and be built up. In Mark 6, we read that the people said about Jesus, such mighty works are wrought by his hands. But verse 5 also says, he could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them. Why could our Lord not work? Verse 6 tells us he marveled because of their unbelief. because of their lack of surrender to him, because of their unbelief in him, because of a refusal to commit themselves to him. The Lord Jesus wants to build your life. He calls you to come to him. He wants to make your life a worthwhile, God-honoring life. And he will, if you will give your life to him and trust him as the carpenter. Let's run with that a little more. A third possible reason why the Lord Jesus was a carpenter is he not only was born in a carpenter's home, he not only came to do a carpenter's work, but he also had a carpenter's vision. A carpenter looks at a piece of wood and sees results in that wood. I might not see anything in that wood. You might not see anything either. But again, a carpenter can see wonderful results in it. He can go out, cut down a tree, and say, I see a table in that tree. I see some chairs. I see a floor. A good number of years ago, before Pat and I had our children, we were on vacation. And on vacation, we spotted some driftwood. And as I looked at the driftwood, I saw wood destroyed by the sea. When Pat looked at the driftwood, she saw potential. Something that she could do with that wood. And so that wood was put in our car and we drove home with that driftwood. A carpenter sees a wonderful product in his material. That's his gift. And that's a third possible reason why our Lord Jesus was a carpenter. The Lord Jesus is looking at us right now and saying, what I can do in you and through you. You may have recently thought, I will never amount to anything. I will never do anything. But that's not true. Yes, you can become something. Yes, you can do things in and through Christ. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Jesus looked at Simon one day and said, you are Simon, but I'm going to call you Peter, a rock. Peter's friends perhaps laughed at this. They did, because in their eyes, there was not much in Peter that was like a rock. But Jesus saw the product of his work, and that's what he made Peter. Our Lord also saw the product of his work in the persecutor, Saul. And he made Saul the great apostle Paul. He saw the product of his work in the deserter, John Mark. And now we have the gospel of Mark. Our Lord, again, sees the result in us through him. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Christ knows what he is able to have you become. You don't have to be negative about your life. If you will turn to Christ and turn yourself over to the carpenter, have him as your Savior and Lord, then this is what you'll experience. John 10, the end of verse 10. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Dr. Warren Wiersbe has given these words for the one who turns over his life to Christ. And Dr. Wiersbe, as last Sunday night, is helping me today with our sermon. Listen to Dr. Wiersbe. He knows just what tools to use. He knows when I have to be planed, he knows when I have to be sandpapered, and he knows when I have to be polished. He knows exactly when to use the Word of God and when to use other Christians to polish my life. The Lord Jesus follows a carpenter's methods, and he always finishes what he starts. He never leaves a job half done. I am come that you may have life and have it to the full. In God's providence, Jesus was a carpenter, perhaps because he was born into a carpenter's home. He came to do a carpenter's work. He had a carpenter's vision. And finally, this morning, he would do, he would die a carpenter's death. The Bible tells us that our Lord Jesus wasn't stoned to death as Stephen was. He wasn't put in jail and then beheaded as John the Baptist was. He rather was nailed to a tree. He was taken. He was stretched out over wood. He was nailed to the wood, and then he hung from the wood. I wonder how many times our Lord Jesus thought about that as he carried trees back to the carpenter shop and trimmed them, cured the wood, planed the wood, and made from the wood something useful. Well, one day they took the Lord Jesus, and with hammers and nails, the kind of tools that he had used in the carpenter's shop, and they nailed him to a tree. And Peter wrote about that in 1 Peter 2, verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. A carpenter's death for our sins. A carpenter's death for our eternal healing. A carpenter's death for our eternal life. You, of course, know that it was actually not the nails that held the Lord Jesus to the wood. It was our sin and his love for us. Jesus died a carpenter's death because he loves us, and so that we might be saved in him. Let me ask, in whom are you trusting for the removal of your sins? In whom are you trusting for deliverance from God's justice? You are a sinner. You are a rebel. You need a Savior. In whom are you trusting? Are you trusting in yourself? Are you looking to yourself, to your good deeds to save you? The Word of God says in Galatians 3, verse 10, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. In other words, are you perfect? No, you're not. You're far from it. And so the Bible also says in Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. You need the Lord Jesus. Go to him, for Jesus died a carpenter's death for the deliverance of his people. Let's review what we have covered this morning. Our Lord also had the title, the carpenter. Mark 6, verse 3, is not this the carpenter? In God's providence, our Lord at first was a carpenter, perhaps because he was born into a carpenter's home. He came to do a carpenter's work. He had a carpenter's vision, and he would die a carpenter's death. These suggestions have real significance for us, for they point to the truths that Jesus identifies with us. And he came to build and repair our lives. And he sees wonderful results in us through him. And in order to bring about our rescue, he died so that we might live eternally through him. Perhaps just now you would like to respond to Jesus the carpenter. Perhaps you would like to pray to him about some challenge, about some problem, because he does understand you. Perhaps you would like to ask him to repair an area of your life and then go on building up all of your life. Perhaps you would like to ask him to lovingly work his wonderful plan for you. Perhaps you would like to bow before him and say, Lord Jesus, I need a Savior. Right now, I trust you. I accept you as that Savior. I'm not going to go immediately to the Lord's table. I am going to let us have a few moments to give ourselves the opportunity to respond to what we have heard this morning. We will have the Lord's Supper, but let's pause and let's respond to the truths from God's Word that we have heard today. Let's do that.